Grapevine, it is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional and trusted beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black. National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong. And we're going to dive straight in. We've got two deadly guests here come to join us. We have Dr. Anne Preston, Preston Thomas, and got a bodyguard with her, Elijah Joseph, young brother Eli, went to school with my son William, and they're both from Environmental Health Cairns Base Hospital. We're talking about the hidden dangers of the wet season, which is just around the corner. A very good morning to you both. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Good, thanks, Uncle.
Yeah, good. Yeah, my brother, good to see you. Start with you, Dr. Anne. We like to say, who your mob were you from? Who's Dr. Anne Preston Thomas?
So I grew up in New Zealand and I've been living here in, first of all, I was in Central Australia, working in the Ngantara lands. Beautiful. And then I've been up here in Cairns since 2004.
All right, saw the light come to paradise, eh?
Yeah.
Dr. Preston, Anne, thank you very much. Anne Preston Thomas. And Eli, who your mob were you from, bro?
Hey, Uncle. Yeah, originally from St. Paul, Moore Island. Also been with public health for a while now, 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, be down here for a fair bit, as you're aware as well.
Beautiful. And what's your role with the environmental health?
My role is an environmental health technician.
Environmental
health technician.
Okay, there you go. Nearly broke my jaw trying to pronounce it. That's a deadly title there. Look, we're talking about the hidden dangers of the wet season here in Far North Queensland. Look, before we start that, our thoughts and prayers are going out to the mob down in Victoria in regard to the wet season, what's happening down there. So big shout out and hope well, and prayers are going out to you, and look, stay strong. But here in Far North Queensland, we do have what they call the monsoonal season, which is just around the corner, usually around Christmas time, January time, and what they call the cyclone seasons. And it's good that we're having this conversation, Dr. Anne, in regard to locals and visitors to the far north to be urged, are being urged to protect themselves against the hidden dangers of the tropics this wet season, including mosquitoes, flood, and soil-borne diseases. So can you please elaborate there, please, Dr. Anne?
Yeah, sure. So as you're saying, we're just approaching the cyclone season and the wet season, and we know that they're saying that we're expecting to have more rain and maybe earlier and maybe more risk of cyclones. So we certainly want people to be ready as far as from a cyclone perspective. Mm. But then also we want to talk about, so we know that there are mosquito-borne diseases. So things like Ross River fever and Barmah Forest and dengue, and they can be... people can catch those all year round.
Sure.
But we also know that during the wet season there's more mosquitoes around, and so more people can get sick.
Mm.
So we certainly want...
Just on that note, Dr. Annie, so we're talking about mosquitoes, and we're talking about diseases they can carry. We're still virtually in the midst of it all in regarding COVID-19. Can that be passed on through mosquitoes?
No. So the good news is COVID can't be passed on through mosquitoes, only from people.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. So EJ's going to talk a bit about what some of the things that people can do to protect themselves against the mosquito-borne diseases.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please, over to you, Eli.
Yeah, so when you're looking at mosquito-borne diseases, the best way for prevention measures, you're looking at, well, firstly, best protection is to avoid being bitten by mozzies in the first place. But in saying that, all residents can do their part, take action to help each other and the community by getting rid of mozzie breeding sites at your home. Mm. That means tipping any containers out that hold water.
Yes.
As we all know, mozzies love breeding in water. Mm. Also protecting yourself and your kids by using mosquito repellent, but also make sure that with our younger children, that we read the fine label and make sure the repellent is age appropriate as well.
True. Yes. Or if you're in the mangroves there, going crabbing, whatever, get that mud there.
That's it.
Chuck that mud there.
Yeah. Other things, we can do to include is also install insect screens in our home or the office.
Yeah.
Continue to keep tipping out water from containers around the house. Wear light-colored clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Mozzies love. They love dark clothing.
Okay.
Also, you know, use other mosquito protection devices such as zappers or mosquito coils as well.
Mm. Yep. So prevention is the key, and we need to, we're in control of that, aren't we, Doctor? We need to do what we need to do to prevent that from happening. They are a pest as such, and we can't be laxy-daisy, especially come around the wet seasons, is what you're putting across the table, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then there's a couple of other conditions that we thought it would be good for people to be aware of as well, which are they're bacterial infections, but people can get them from, so they're in the soil, but in the wet season, there's people are more likely to come in contact with them. It seems like, so one of them, those are melioidosis and leptospirosis.
Okay. I nearly broke my jaw trying to pronounce it, but anyway, please explain.
Okay, so let's talk about melioidosis first. Yeah. It's usually found in muddy surface waters.
Okay.
And people are more likely to get exposed to it when they've got, if they've got cuts on their skin and they're either walking in the muddy water, or if they're gardening or something and they haven't got gloves on and they've got cuts, it can get in through there.
Sure.
The people who are most likely to get sick from melioidosis, and so these are the people who really need to listen to EJ's messages, are people with diabetes,
okay,
or with kidney disease, if they've got any sort of immunocompromise. So if they're on tablets that weaken their immune system, or if they've got a condition, an immune condition, they're more at risk for getting really sick with melioid. And the sorts of things that, if you do get melioid, what can happen is you can get a pneumonia, so you can get really sick.
It can really snowball, can't it?
It can, yeah. So you might have fever, cough. You can also get some, like, skin abscesses and things can have melioid as well. And when people do get it, they always have to be treated in the hospital. Like, you have to have intravenous antibiotics, and then you also need to keep taking antibiotics for up to 3 months afterwards.
So there's that vulnerable people.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so, and I can tell you about leptospirosis as well. So different condition. This one is also caused by bacteria. It's more often seen in the tropics, and we particularly see it in people who are, so cane cutters, banana farmers, people working on farms.
Working on farms.
Because what leptospirosis is, a bacterium that's, it infects lots of animals. So rats, dogs, pigs, cows, and other animals.
And farmers get in touch with those animals, don't they?
Yeah, so what happens is they pee it out. And it might go into the rivers, or it might go onto the foliage. And then if you've got cuts and you walk past it, or you're swimming in the rivers or whatever, then you can get sick with it.
So the bottom line is, let's not be laxy-daisy with any cuts or wounds.
Yeah.
Let's attend the cuts and wounds straight away to prevent picking up other diseases.
That's right, yes.
And EJ's got some other tips that you can also, for protecting people as well.
Walk around like a mummy. Bandage up everywhere. Go ahead, Brother Eli.
Yeah, so some of the simple steps we can take to prevent the risk of infection. So, you know, wear shoes to protect your feet. Don't walk around barefoot on muddy surfaces or in muddy water. Especially if you have any cuts or scratches on your feet or legs, that's how the disease can get in.
Yes.
Yes. Also wearing gloves while working in the garden or the farm. Wash hands, basic good hand hygiene practice before eating. Covering your cuts, sores with all these waterproof dressings. Wash thoroughly. Also having a frequent shower. After exposure to the soil or muddy water and working outdoors as well. Like Dr. Annie said, people with diabetes especially should have a good foot care routine.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can, see a podiatrist. They specialize when it comes to feet, ankles, and the lower legs. Also, cleaning up rubbish, long grass, food scraps, and junks, just to keep the basic rodents away.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, most government agencies, local agencies, always push when it comes around wet season about cleaning up your yards for potential missiles. So that's what we're talking about as well, emptying the so-called excess water, sitting in bowls or, you know, garden bowls too, especially, you know. So we need to do our bits in regard to protecting our family, not only from the strong winds, but from the little bugs, is what we're talking about, mosquitoes and what have you, and the bites. And if you've got cuts and what have you, cover them up. Yeah. So very important.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. So it is coming up to wet seasons. Beware of hidden dangers. This wet season is our conversation here with Dr. Anne Preston-Thomas and Elijah Joseph, technician / bodyguard for Dr. Annie Preston-Thomas. So fantastic. Good to have you both. My brother, good to see you again.
Thank you, Uncle.
All the best to you. And Dr. Annie Preston-Thomas, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Do please keep National Talk in mind in regarding other messages or what have you. Let's protect our far northerners out there and across the country in regard to those tips and what have you regarding wet seasons across this big island. Do what you need to keep your family safe, keep yourself safe. Good yarning with you both. Nice to meet you, Dr. Annie.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Uncle.
Brother Eli, talk soon, eh? Beautiful yarn there too, Deadly. And Brother Eli, they're taking over. I mean, you're going for my job. I had to tell him, I'm the host. Cuss, where you going? But all good. Good to be yarning with those guys. And look, so very important, hidden dangers of the wet season. So do take care. Do what you need to do. Keep your family, keep yourself safe. And those little mozzies, yeah, they can do big damages if we're not too careful. This is your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, if you're on the shy side, don't act. We know you're not shy. You can text a brother, 0457140550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Too Deadly.
Biting on the street one day, I saw a policeman come up to me and he did say, "What are you doing, son?" I said I didn't think that I was doing any harm. Then he went and moved me on. Said I was taking arms. Have you got arms for the beggar man? Have you got arms for the beggar man? Oh, they call me the beggar man. The beggar man.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
I'd like to thank Uncle Archie and my sisters, Titters, Dan Salt and Kev Comedy, paving the way for me and many. The stand up tall, young black and deadly, I'm proud and ready. I'm the black prince to many, like Michael Long kicking goals on that telly. Yup, change that day, I'll change your mind, boy. Perspective, your way of life, you may deny. I promise if we get this right, we'll be living in our day where our days are fine. But it makes me sad that we can't understand all this pain from stealing the land. And I'm a proud Aboriginal man. That's why I got that flag tattooed on my hand. Cause we're the oldest in civilization, yet we're the coldest in a hypocritical nation. So I'm waiting for the day that you're proud. All my people not mistaking us as patience on a race it and never answer minimal information.
A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. My man.
I was floating down this river and looked out the side, and I saw all this land get took. And yeah, I'm sick of all these white fellas thinking that they know better when they knew never. Yeah, and man, I stand up for what I believe. That's the answer. Question time. Freedom of speech with a plan, but that's why I stand pants down with my hands up, bruh. I get asked about 3 times a week if I'm Aboriginal, but see, don't matter what the colour of your skin, where you've been, brother, written in my blood, black history, brother. And I can feel it, man, the energy, the synergy, you mimic me, deep down the truth is you're sick of me. Napalina, Kuparuna, Niara, I'm from a Tulumpanga, Larapuna, yeah, Luchawitza. Love for Larrakia and NT, Noongars West, Curries, Murrays, all that love for all the Ghana mob in SA, they understand what I say, cause I thought like
it. Taking all of my money as we're walking out the door, and they're leaving all of their loving, and she's telling him to let go. You can see it in the writing as we read it on your wall. She's a devil in disguise, and I'm a pawn to a lust, pawn to a love, cause. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan, a black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man, my man, my man, my man, na, 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 na. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man, black swan, black swan, black swan, a black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man, black swan. Black swan, black swan, a black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan, black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan, black swan, black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, black swan.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
This is dedicated to the family and friends that didn't get to see us make it to this point. To the family and friends that have supported us from day one. We thank you. Shout out. Birds loop.
4077.
Trees loop. Where you at?
Many years ago, but most of you know, I was out of control, never listened to what I was told. And one time, I went to Indrapilly, did something silly.
Oh, really?
TFSFCBN, me. Had a little fun with the hottie word, cruising through the Brisbane suburbs, looking for a snatch on the way home. Oh, no, ninging eyes on my back. Oh, yes, we crashed.
Were you going too fast?
I don't know, I'm having flashbacks, thinking about all the things that I done, going all night, coming back to the morning sun. I'm a friend Richie tagging on train lines. Pack Paw Pool, I'm high, I see the demons in my eyes.
It's time to ride.
Today we stand as one tribe. Fill your glasses up, raise them to the sky.
And I'm still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And I'll be a YZB the game. Rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
And I'm still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And I'll be a YZB the game. Rolling around the
you should.
It's really changed in our hood, I wish it never would. We freestyle with juveniles that are up to no good. Never fold, too hot to handle, too cold to hold. DCP and A1B on a mission for the gold. The dough, the bread, the cash, pass the hash fast. See the diesel make a dash, laugh, I'm going in the flash.
That's how it's done, son.
Spot a bully man and run as fun till you're staring down the barrel of a gun. Brutality is a cold reality. Gradually, tragedy changes your mentality. Profanity becomes a part of your personality. The strategy is not to lose your only bit of sanity.
Huh?
We want mob from friends to family, so understandably I carry on the name like it married me. Actively causing chaos with catastrophe, practically telling you that's the way it has to be.
And all is still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And all of B-O-Y-Z-B, the gang, rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
And all is still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And all of B-O-Y-Z-B, the gang, rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
Indigenous intruders, that's our name.
Sex, drugs, grog, money, that's just part of the game.
It's all the same, every B.O.Y.'s is on a mission.
Mission to make something go missing, it's a competition.
Hey, it's an all aboard tradition, so listen.
Blaze up and pump your system.
With the screwy indignation, burning rubber, watch your smoke go in the air.
Throw your hands up like you just don't care.
Oh yeah, putting it down for my boys, we be keeping it real. Doing deep deals, love the dope to steal for a meal, for real.
It happens every day in INALA, getting charged, getting wrecked, and blowing up payday.
From Monday to Friday, I'm sent to get an education, but my communication with administration causes irritation, aggravation. Trying to stop this creation ever fading.
Those who live know the situation.
And all is still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And all of B-O-Y-Z-B, the gang, rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
And all is still the same,
ain't nothing changed.
And all of B-O-Y-Z-B, the gang, rolling around the neighborhood, always up to no good.
And if you don't recognize, then you should.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up a yarn now. We're going to have a beautiful yarn with Christine. Christine Morgan, CEO, National Mental Health Commission and National Suicide Prevention Advisor to the Prime Minister and organisation as well, making connections with your mental health and well-being. On the line, Christine, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So I believe your connection is to Cairns. You're dingy here?
Yes, I certainly do have a connection to Cairns. It is my homeland. It's where my great-grandparents came from and my grandparents. So I feel very close to Cairns.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so fantastic. But you're based in Sydney and you work in Canberra as well.
That's right. That's right. That's where the National Mental Health Commission is.
Yes.
So we're across both those places. But getting out around the country over the last few months has been absolutely fantastic, Trevor.
Fantastic. Quickly, introduce making connection with your mental health and well-being. Tell us about the organisation and then also tell us how you were as the CEO of National Mental Health Commission and National Suicide Prevention Advisor to the Prime Minister, please.
Yeah, so look, the Making Connections for Your Mental Health and Wellbeing, it's a program that we run out of the Commission, and we do it every couple of years, and it's our way of actually getting out of our offices and going around to different communities around Australia to talk about what their experiences are of mental health issues, any issues around suicide. And we then take that back so that it informs every piece of work we do over the next couple of years. So it's our way of making sure we're staying real by having real conversation with real people rather than just reading reports in Sydney or Canberra.
Yes, yes. Well, we are dealing with people, are we not? You know, so it's very important to have that face-to-face. And with First Nation people, look, that's the way, you know, we operate in that sense, you know. That face-to-face yarn is so, so very important. And, you know, and let me ask that question, Christine. Do you have First Nation staff working with you guys?
So we work closely in with First Nation organisations, and we are actively looking to bring into the commission onto our staff somebody who is from a First Nation. But while we work towards that, we work very, very closely with a lot of organisations. But more importantly than just on the staff side, is we do have an advisory board, and we have four commissioners out of 12 who are of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, represent Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. And our chair, in fact, Professor Nye Brown, has been our chair this year.
Sure.
He's been with the commission for about the last, longer than I have, about the last 5 to 6 years.
Fantastic. And I'll ask that question as a black man, because we know as black people, First Nation people, that conversation or that yarn from all different industries, if you've got an Indigenous person, First Nation person working with the organisation, it just builds that bridge a lot stronger. And, people, especially our elders, are a lot more comfortable talking to First Nation people. So it's a powerful tool, but it's great to have a company, an organisation like such, making connection with your mental health and wellbeing. Because I strongly believe we're talking about COVID-19, a pandemic, but the mental health is a pandemic in itself, and well before COVID-19 came to the surface, yes?
That's so true. That is so true. And you're so right that as we've been doing our connections tour, where we have gone around as much as possible, Nye has come with us, or one of our other Indigenous commissioners.
Mm.
And yes, it certainly has made a difference to the conversations that we've had. One of the biggest things we have had affirmed to us was how important it is to look at mental health through what Indigenous people have been saying for so long, which is social and emotional well-being, where we are connecting our mental health, our emotional well-being, if you like, with our physical health, with our culture, and with our spiritual health.
Spiritual health, of course.
And the more we explore this through stories that people tell us, and I think that's been an important learning with connections, is the importance of sitting with people and hearing their stories and understanding that mental ill health is part of a much bigger picture which relates back to all of our social and emotional well-being. So it's kind of the whole person, really, isn't it?
Exactly. And when you're talking about our people and you're talking about mental health and social and well-being, well, we're talking about also trauma in regard to generational trauma. You know, when we talk about when the first sales first came here, and we carry that. When we talk about my grandmother, Stolen Generation, no longer with us or with us in spirit, but she left this earth 35 odd years ago. And I would think of her and I would break out in goosebumps, and, I'd have to have a moment to myself thinking of my grandmother, you know. So that's what we carry in today's society, and with our so-called dramas in regarding, car payments or paying the rent or, you know, we carry the trauma, generational trauma. It's real.
It's very real, isn't it? Very real. And I am developing an even deeper understanding as I try and listen to more and more stories about it and how that manifests itself and what it is that we need to do to be able to be a partner in moving through that is really important. But that role of that intergenerational trauma and how it affects every part of life is very, very strong.
Yeah, thank you. And look, so it's just great to have an organisation like such make connection with mental health and well-being, and working in this space. And we're talking about the increase of different areas in regard to mental health, like recent increases in indicators of physical distress, mental health service use, suicide rates, eating disorder symptoms. That's a true symptoms in regarding what's happening in the mental space for First Nation people. Young people at that, Christine.
Look, I think it is. I think that when we look at First Nation people, we do have to understand the impact of intergenerational trauma, the impact of other forms of trauma that our young people are going through. We need to understand, and I'm desperately, desperately trying to learn more about understanding why we lose too many of our young people to suicide. That is something we want to stop. We absolutely want to stop. And that's about understanding all of the different parts of their lives that are under stress. We need to understand issues that young people have around employment, around lifestyle. Like, there's so many things. Even the role of technology.
Yes, exactly.
How is that changing how young people relate to each other and to their elders and to other parts of society? It's so complex.
It's very much so. Look, I also talk about the curriculum, which is not your field, you know, in your organisation. But things don't change if things don't change. And I reckon if Gough Whitlam came back to life, the only thing he would see the same is the curriculum. The curriculum's got to change. I mean, we're talking about life skills. There should be, to me, there should be a subject about life skills. You know what I mean? You know, having a relationship and the relationship breaks up or fail in an exam. Adversity. And our kids need to know that if you fail here, it's not the end of the world, you know. So I think the curriculum needs to change.
Look, I think without being able to comment on the curriculum, I think the point you're making is very real, that we need to help our young people understand how to live life and what are the tools they need. And failure is not failure. If you can firstly, I don't like the word failure.
Sure.
I think there are learning opportunities, and sometimes we
speed
do well.
Bumps.
Sometimes we don't do well. Speed bumps,
exactly.
But in all of it, it's part of the journey of life. It's part of... And I think the journey of life is about discovering more and more about ourselves and how to be our authentic selves. And you just need to make some mistakes along the way in order to find out that. And that's a good growing thing, isn't it, for people to go through?
Very much so. And look, it takes a community to raise a child. Here we are having a yarn. You're coming from your organisation. Here I am in First Nation Media. We're having this yarn, which is so very important. And now we're reaching out to the communities. And look, step by step, but inch by inch, it's essential. And we need to get it together. It takes a community to raise a child, does it not?
It does indeed, and this is the very heart of why we do Connections.
Beautiful.
Connections is about having yarns with people. It's taking time. It's stopping just reading reports and sitting with people and hearing their stories and understanding their reality and how we need to be in their space in order for all of us to move forward.
Well, Christian, it was nice having a yarn with you. Thank you, my sister. Good yarning
Thank
with you. We'll keep in touch, please. And all the best to your team, your organisation, your family. Stay safe and come home to Cairns every now and again, please.
I sure will. And thank you. And all the best to you too. Thank you, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. There's Christine Morgan. And, yes, she's the CEO of National Mental Health Commission and National Suicide Prevention Advisor to the Prime Minister. Very important space. And like I said, that in itself is a pandemic, what's happening out there in the mental space. So love and respect each other and love and respect that man, that woman in the mirror, your mob, and have that deadly yarn. And tomorrow is another day. And tomorrow and your future is a clean slate. So get excited about that. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Anatomy. Why? More time alongside JW.
My bestie and your bestie sit down by the fire. Your bestie says she want parties, so can we make these flames go higher? Talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. I go ane, chucking more fina anane, chucking more fina ane. Start my truck, let's all jump in. Here we go together. Nice cool breeze and big palm trees. I tell you life don't get no better. Talking about hey now. Pop it low now, take you to the max now. Jam in this small jam way. Jam in this small jam way.
My bestie and your bestie dancing by the fire. Your bestie says she want parties, so can we make these flames go higher? Talking about hey now.
Right hootie mama, make me party non-stop in a island banda. Swing those hips and back it up to me ragga. A chance for party ladies do the doggy doggy. I'm jamming island reggae, rapping blue, green and yellow. Me tapping on me beat, making slow wine for me baby. Speakers pumping, people jumping, we jamming the island way.
Shout out to the good time crew all across the islands. Grab your shoes, let me two by two, and then we shine it bright like diamonds. Talking about hey now.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country as BBM Bunbury Bib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Have you saying yarn up strong? All right, to Deadly, 2022 First Nations Creative Program recipients announced by Instagram and Screen Australia. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Brother Joseph Cardona, Development and Investment Manager at Screen Australia. On the line, Joseph, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, good afternoon on this side of town.
Yes, we're up in far north Queensland, still in morning, stretching legs here. Brother, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so my name's Joseph Cardona, and I am originally from Darwin, Larrakia land.
Okay.
Grew up there, and my mob are Gurindji Malak Malak people, and my ancestors from Badu Island as well. So
good.
All over the place.
Good, good, good. Deadly footprint, thank you very much. Now, congratulations in regard to the Instagram and Screen Australia announced the recipients of the 2022 First Nation Creative Program. So enlighten us, please. Who are the 10 selected recipients?
Oh, gosh. So we've got Brandy Samuel, we've got Millicent Saylor, we've got Jalen Sutcliffe, we've got... Did I say Brandy Salmon yet?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah, so we've got Kayleen Langford, we've got Jarvis Loveday. So, yeah, we've got three online, zooming in, and we've got three here on... we've got 7 here in person on Gadigal lands in Sydney.
Fantastic. So tell us what the winners can obtain once they win.
Yeah, so, well, they haven't really won anything. So it's just a creative program that fosters Indigenous talent, amplifies their voices online, and helps them create long-term career prospects as First Nations creators here in Australia.
Yeah, deadly. Look, a fantastic platform. We are in the 21st century. We are on social media, and it's great to see, how you say, black skin in the game, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, we are a lot of First Nations people are actually picking up the game and, you know, picking up their phone and showing the world that we are still here. Like,
yes.
We are still creating, we're still singing, we are still, you know, going strong.
Exactly. And by any means possible, whatever vehicles we use, it's a powerful tool. And we're talking about Instagram and, like, it's the 21st century. How long have you been in your role there, brother?
So I've been in my role almost 12 months now at Korean Australia. Before that, I was over in Canada setting up Imaginative Film Festival for First Nations mob over there.
Oh, deadly.
Yeah.
And how's the space over there? And how are First Nation people in Canada operating in the 21st century, brother?
Yeah, very much the same as us. The Imaginative Film Festival happens this time every year. So, that, you know, they've got a lot of voices from the Americas, and also, you know, the South America, the Mexico and the South American borders. So they have all of they're looking after all their mob.
Yeah, too deadly, brother. So here we have the 10 selected recipients of the 2022 First Nation Creative Program. So that means now there'll be the applications are open for next year, 2023?
Well, not yet, because we're still in the middle of the program. But this is the second time running, so fingers crossed that we get to come back and bring some more mob in just to amplify their voices as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So is it open for anybody? Well, we're talking about open application that's coming up soon. That's open for any black person on the Big Island here in Australia.
Of course, that's it. Yep, anyone who has like an Instagram, Facebook page, TikTok.
Page, you got a TikTok?
Or a YouTube channel, just who, you know, a creator who wants to just amplify. You know, you can be doing comedy, beauty.
No matter what industry is what you're talking about, Joseph.
Yeah, we've got people who who run businesses. We have filmmakers. We have models. We've got a lot this year.
Good, fantastic. And the 10 selected recipients are coming from all different industries.
Yep, definitely. We've also got dancers, but all industries. Like, as long as you've got a platform, a Instagram page, then you can definitely apply.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, it is a powerful tool in regarding exposure, but also can become a powerful financial vehicle too, can't it?
Yeah, that's it. So I think today these mob are learning about how to monetize your platform. A lot of interesting things happening today. We've just had lunch, so, you know, we're full up. So keep going.
Keep going, exactly. Exactly. Could be the next to Mr. Tate.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, nice talking to you, my brother. Congratulations. Big shout-out to the recipients. You keep smiling, keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be in touch, Joseph.
No worries. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yarn there. Joseph Cardona, Development and Investment Manager at Screen Australia. And he was happy to announce the 10 recipients for the 2022 First Nation Creative Program recipients announced by Instagram and Screen Australia. So we black people are on that front as well. It is the 21st century, and we are using all of the tools that are available in regarding exposure in the business sense, but also in the cultural sense, and keeping our culture alive 60,000 years. And with the social media front and centre at our fingertips, so to speak, we use that vehicle to keep our culture alive for another 60,000 years more. Too deadly. Have you saying yarn up strong? 1-800-422-416. Let's go to our sister here, Christine Anu, Mile and Home. Do enjoy.